And again, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. And today we're going to be looking, as we continue our study of 2 Timothy, to be in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Let me read that at this time. It says, "You, however, Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Amen. Amen. Starting here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, and going on through chapter 4, verse 8, the dominant theme is encouragement. Paul is writing to encourage Timothy. Paul here is reminding Timothy of their times together. And Paul takes some time to reflect on some personal life history. Then Paul reflects on Timothy's spiritual heritage and the influence of the scriptures in his life and its result in his salvation. And we remember from, I think it's 1 Timothy, that it was the faith of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice that were so important in Timothy's life. Well, we have 2 points to our sermon today. It's very simple. In verse 10, it starts off, "You, however, have followed," and then gives a list of all the things that he have followed. And so Paul's writing to Timothy and said, "You have followed this pattern in your life." And we'll see that in verses 10 through 13. But then in verse 14 he says, "But as for you also, continue." You have followed, number one. 2, continue. Keep at it. Don't ever give up. Don't stop. Now you notice as he begins here in verse 10, he says, "You, however," which sends us back to the previous verses, where we saw how bad things were going to be in the last days, in particular where people are always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth, and how we saw that Jannes and Jambres were people who opposed Moses, these Egyptian magicians. And so the men in the time here in Ephesus, these false teachers, are also opposing the truth. These are men that are corrupted in mind. They are disqualified regarding the faith. And then in verse 9 he says, they're not going to get very far. Their folly will be plain to all. And then verse 10, "However, you, Timothy, you will have progress because you've carefully followed my pattern. You have followed after." Dr. Vine says it means to follow a standard of conduct, to follow teaching as so to practice it. It's not just saying you know it, you believe it, but that you put it into practice. And so here is Timothy following Paul, even as Paul said in another place, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And so he is following him. Now, this following idea can refer to physically following, and there was time when Timothy was physically following Paul. It also can refer to following mentally, in other words, in listening and attending to what is being taught, to understand the teaching. And it also means to follow spiritually, that is, to be a disciple, to become one like the other person who's discipling you. So as Paul had said earlier, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He's reminding Timothy here of the example he had set and how Timothy was being a true disciple of Jesus Christ in being a disciple of Paul. So they're sort of reflecting here. Paul's sort of reflecting on some of the common experiences they had together and sort of reminding Timothy of these things. And of course, this list that we have here is certainly a contrast to these opponents. That's why it says, however. I mean, the opponents, the false teachers, had errant teaching and they had aberrant behavior. Adam Clark, the old Methodist commentator, put it this way, he said, now Timothy, having long had the opportunity of knowing me and the doctrine I preached, and my conduct founded on these doctrines, and the object I have in view by my preaching, and my fidelity to God and to my trust, my long suffering with those who walk disorderly and oppose themselves to the truth, and I did what they could to lessen my authority and render it suspect, and yet my love to them and to the world in general, and my patience in all my adversities, you remember these things. And you are capable of judging between me and the false teachers. You can easily discern the difference between their doctrines and their conduct and their motives and their temper and their spirit, etc., and mine. End quote from Adam Clark. So what was it that specifically that Timothy is following here? Now in the ESV, listen to it carefully one more time. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings. I think you probably caught on to the repetition of my there. Now, in most of the translations, they do not have my in front of all of those. And that's okay too. Actually, in the Greek, the word my only appears at the beginning. But, grammatically, it's covering all those things, and so you could translate it either way. But here, in the ESV, by emphasis, he's saying, these are the things in my life. Mine, and you're following them. And it starts with his teaching, his doctrine, his instruction. You're following my teaching, but not with blind obedience. No, we should never be following any teacher with blind obedience. It's always a matter of being a Berean, remember? Those in Berea, they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica because they even checked the things out the Apostle Paul was teaching. Okay? Well, if they're going to check out the Apostle Paul, they better check out all of us. What we're teaching, make sure it's accurate to Scripture. So you followed my teaching, and then you followed, it says, my conduct. My conduct, my way of life, my mode of living. You saw me, you saw that I practiced what I preached. And so you're imitating that conduct. You're doing what is right. You're practicing righteous living. And then you followed my aim in life, my purpose. You know, a leader's purpose or aim relates to his personal motive for service. What's the driving passion of the heart? Well, for each one of us, and for Paul it certainly was, and for Timothy following him, and for us it should be, please the Lord. Glorify God in all things. That's our aim in life. That I might be pleasing to Him, knowing that I haven't reached that yet and I just keep striving forward for it until He comes again. This should be the driving passion of our life. This is what Timothy was following in the life of the Apostle Paul. And then he says, you also followed my faith. Now, it could be translated as faith. It could be translated as faithfulness or trustworthiness. Again, this is the picture of Paul faithfully living out the truth that he preached. And that's what we all need to be doing. We need to be faithful to what we say is the truth. That's a walk of faith in our lives, trusting in the Lord in these things. And then the next one is my patience. You have followed my patience, or it could be translated as long-suffering. Long-suffering. It is especially forbearance towards people. Remember, this is the first quality in Paul explaining what love is in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is long-suffering. Love is that type of patience toward people. That leads us on to the very next thing, which he just says, my agape, my love. Paul said, you following my love. You're loving people the way I'm loving people. Even my enemies. By the way, that's sometimes easier said than done. But it's vital because this is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. This is what he wants for us. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Act like men. Be strong. What's the next verse? Everything you do, let it be done in love. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you're loving me, Jesus said. That's what we're to be following. This is the life of the Apostle Paul. He was a loving person. And this is the way that Timothy is following him. And then at the end, verse of 10, it says, my steadfastness. Or it could be translated as patient endurance or perseverance. Now, contrary to the earlier word, patience, which dealt mainly with people, this is more towards circumstances, situations in life. We all face trials and difficulties, like we're doing right now with this COVID-19 situation. And we have to persevere in daily life to get through with all these things. Well, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you've done this. You have followed this. This is wonderful. You're a good man, Timothy. But then he goes on, and he begins to talk about some of the struggles. He begins to reminisce about the difficulties that he had gone through, and Timothy knew about these. And Timothy had later experienced some other ones with him, probably. But he mentions here persecutions and sufferings. Now this is dealing now more with events than virtues. Persecutions. Persecutions are mentioned twice here. These were religious persecutions. The picture is to be pursued and put to flight. As Jesus said, they reject you in one, flee to another. Paul often had to flee from one city to another because of the persecutions that he went through. And the word sufferings is a word we could translate also as afflictions. This is just hardships that you're going through. You know, just going through life, it's not always just that people are persecuting you, it's just that you have very difficult situations that come up. Say, how do I deal with this? Why did I have this accident? Why is this happening? Sufferings. The word originates from the word pathos. These are trials of other kinds separate from persecution. Now, I'd like to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you get the idea of what Paul's talking about here as he's writing to Timothy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, Paul asks the questions with regard to the false teachers. It says, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman. Now listen to what he says. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Can't even imagine that, can you? 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. Now see, some of those are persecutions, others are just afflictions, sufferings. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. I was on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. I think we can all agree that definitely Paul did experience much in the way of persecutions and sufferings. He says, my persecutions and sufferings you followed after, the things that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Now, the Apostle Paul suffered many more persecutions and afflictions besides those three towns. In fact, in those three towns that he's bringing up are probably times when Timothy wasn't yet there, but they're in the area where Timothy was, and so maybe Timothy did see some of these things. The first place was Antioch. This is not Syrian Antioch. There were two different ones. This is what would be called Pisidian Antioch. And this is in, and these three cities are mentioned in Acts 13 and 14. So let's just turn back there for just a moment. And starting in Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 13, it says, now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem, but they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. Okay? And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and they sat down, and Paul preached a wonderful sermon here. Now what was the result of the sermon? You go down to verse 42 of chapter 13. Acts 13 beginning at verse 42. It says, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. We need more of this. Verse 43, and after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Then we get down to verse 49. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and they went to Iconium. Okay, so now what happens at Iconium? Well, we begin in chapter 14. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. A good start, yes. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and they fled to Lystra and Derbe. So now we come to Lystra, and what's happening there? Go down to chapter 14 to verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, that's the two places he's already been chased out of, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up, he entered the city. On the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned. Where to? Look at this. They returned to Lystra, where he'd just been stoned, to Iconium, where they just chased him out, and to Antioch, and they're strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Yes, he did experience much in the way of persecutions and sufferings at Antioch, Iconium, and at Lystra. But notice what he says there back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, at the end of verse 11. He says, which persecutions I endured. All right, so sometimes you have to endure these things. But then he adds, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. The Lord delivered me. Even back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, he said, when there was nobody else with me, he says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the mouth of the lion. Wow. Well, now we come to verses 12 and 13, and here's a contrast between those who follow, like Timothy, and follow in godliness, and those who are wicked and live an ungodly life. So notice what it says, starting in verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All. That's all. If you desire to live godly, if that's your wish, if that's your resolve, I'm going to live godly in Christ Jesus, I want to live for the Lord, you're going to experience some kinds of persecution. There will be some. One kind or another. We read that earlier in John 15 for our scripture reading, where Jesus said, if the world hates you, this is John 15, 18 through 21, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. So suffering persecution, sort of being hunted down and persecuted. One writer said the essence of persecution is in subjecting a person to injury or disadvantage on account of their opinions. Wow. But look at the contrast here. If you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. But verse 13, while evil people and imposters, they're going to go on from bad to worse, and they're going to be deceiving, and they're going to be deceived. First of all, they're described as evil, wicked people. They're described as imposters. The word originally meant a sorcerer, just like Janus and Jambres, these magicians. And what is their end? They deceive people, and they ended up being deceived themselves. The word for deceive is an interesting word, planao. We get our word planet. It means to wander about. Someone who's deceived is just sort of wandering about, being led astray, going from bad to worse. Oh, how sad. How sad. Like it said back up in verse 9, they're not going to get very far. Their folly is going to be plain to all. Well, then we come to the last two verses here, and we have this section where Paul says, Timothy, not only have you followed my teaching, now, as for you, continue. Right? But as for you, as contrary to these evil and imposters, these evil people and these imposters, contrary to them, but as for you, continue. Continue in what? Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. To continue means to remain, to be faithful, to continue at it, to work hard at it. to learn. Continue in what you have firmly believed and been taught. Become convinced of. You've been persuaded, you know it. Hold on to it. Stay true to it. And then he says, not only that, but remember, knowing from whom you learned it. Knowing from whom you learned it. Learning is an ongoing process. You learn it from, learn from other people. The word whom there is in the plural. There were many people. Praise God for mothers and grandmothers. Timothy had a godly mother and grandmother. We don't know what happened to his Gentile father. But then he had Paul and some other men working in his life, so he had people. But you see, this training began in the home, 2 Timothy 1:5. And later he learned more from Paul and others godly men. But it says, you have, verse 15, from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. From childhood. NIV translates it from infancy. In other words, as soon as you're able to learn anything, don't be surprised how early little ones can learn scriptural truths. Even memorizing scripture. I remember some 3-year-olds memorizing scripture and perhaps doing even better than I was doing at the time. Mothers, grandmothers, share the word with the children and grandchildren. Yes, fathers, you do your part too. But your day is coming in a few weeks. Today it's mothers. Mothers, we encourage you. Keep up the good work. We are so proud and so happy with all the mothers in this church who work so hard at raising their children and teaching them at home. Oh, may God's blessing be upon you for that. And it says here that Timothy from this early age has been acquainted with the sacred writings. That's basically the Old Testament, but also perhaps some of the gospel teaching. You know, learning the scriptures is more important than any other learning. Think about that. If your children can't figure out algebra, but they know the Lord, they're better off knowing the Lord. If your children not only know algebra, they know geometry and solid geometry and calculus and so on, and they don't know the Lord, they're much worse off. If they know the Lord and they haven't learned their history very well, they're still better off. If they know everything about history and science and everything else and they don't know the Lord, they're in trouble. Teach them the Word of God. This is so important. Here it says, you've been acquainted with the scriptures from the childhood, which are able, that have the power to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are powerful. The Word of God, it says, is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise God for His Word. It's sweeter than honey. It's more precious than gold. Are you memorizing Romans 8 with us? I hope you are. I hope you're meditating on Scripture day and night. I hope this is part of your families. This is part of the daily living. Oh, the best kind of wisdom is that you find salvation. The Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation, which only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is through faith, and it's only through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and it's not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. Or as it says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believing, who's trusting in His name. We're reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, being a Christian, receiving this gift of salvation, which is Jesus Christ Himself, is not just about, oh, good, someday I'll go to heaven, and it doesn't matter how I live here. Oh, no, not at all. That's not what it's about. It's about life. eternal life right now because you have the Son of the living God by His Holy Spirit living within you. And in His presence there's fullness of joy. The real life is the life that we live even right now. Yes, eternity is to come. But we should be enjoying this right now. This should be such an important part of our lives. This is just the way we live. This is life. If you don't have that, come to Christ today. The Lord Jesus is waiting for you. In fact, He's seeking you out. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. But in the Old Testament it says that those who seek me will find me if they search for me with all their heart. Timothy was wise unto salvation. He was a believer. He was trusting in the Lord. He was taught rightly. Maybe you haven't been taught rightly, but you can still come to Jesus today and receive Him and have this eternal life right now. It's not just in heaven, but it's right now. The life that we live is the joy of this wonderful life. As Jesus said, I have come to give them life, and that life is an abundant life. And there's so many other verses upon faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this great aim of life is to trust in Christ. He's going to save you from your sins, but He's going to give you this whole new life that is real living. The real fulfillment of life as it was meant to be. So in closing, I just want to share a couple words with the mothers and grandmothers. It is good and proper to teach the Bible to your children at as early a period of life as possible. Get them started. There is hope that such instruction will not be forgotten. The piety of Timothy is traced by the apostles to the fact that he had been early taught to read and know the scriptures from his mother and grandmother, and the faith that resided in them became the faith that made him wise unto salvation as well. It's also proper to teach your children from the Old Testament. That's about all that Timothy had. But he must have had some about the Lord Jesus and the Gospels as well. And it's so important that we learn the Scriptures and teach it to our families. So with that, we give praise, glory, and honor to the Lord for all of our mothers and grandmothers who are faithfully teaching their children of all ages to know the Lord from the Scriptures. And then we close with the thought, follow the example of the godly and continue to do so. May God bless you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to you for this time in your word today, and we pray the Holy Spirit will take these truths and apply them to our lives. For those who are believers, that they will have this such a great desire just to continue. And Father, for anyone who does not know you, that they would be drawn into Christ today. This is our prayer, Lord. Bless each of the mothers now. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.